to introduce Reverend Pixie this morning. It's just such a delight to have them both here. And I want to read Reverend Pixie's bio for those of you that don't know her. She is an ordained, independent, interfaith, and religious science minister who began her journey with the Centers for Spiritual Living in 1995, serving as a licensed practitioner for many years, and she is a credentialed meditation facilitator, spiritual life coach, and Reiki master. She came to religious science desiring to understand the principles of science of mind and has had many demonstrations since then, crediting the expansion of consciousness received through these teachings. Reverend Pixie currently works full-time with the County Office of Education, and she's been employed there since 1998. There's nothing that she loves more than to watch the miraculous results of spirit show up in day-to-day life of those with whom she prays. Please give us, let's give a warm welcome to Reverend Pixie.
Good morning, Spiritual Center, Foothill Center for Spiritual Living. How are you this morning? Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so good to be here. This was my place. This is where I started 25 years ago. This wonderful journey through metaphysics and learning and becoming. And I met this man. I can't believe it's been 9 years already. My goodness, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Well, today we're talking about the light. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, where the heck is that light when you need it? You know where it is? It's right at the center of you, in each one of us. It's right where we are. It's never gone anywhere. It has always been with you. It will always be with you. It is who and what you are. And there is this special time of year, and we call it solstice. And we're going to talk a little bit about solstice. But first, I want to read something for you from, you know, the other Bible. I get to say that here. It is that time of year. It's from the Latin infancy gospel, the birth of Jesus. Behold, a girl came with a chair, which was customarily used to help women giving birth. She stopped when they saw her. They were amazed, and Joseph said to her, "Child, where are you going with that chair?" And the girl responded, "My mistress sent me to this place, because a youth came to her with great haste and said, 'Come quickly to help with an unusual birth.'" A girl will give birth for the first time. A girl, mind you. Do we know how old Mary was? "When she heard this, my mistress sent me on before her. Look, she herself is following." Joseph looked back and saw her coming, and he went to meet her. I didn't bring my glasses. Oh, good Lord. And went to meet her, and they greeted each other. And the midwife said to Joseph, "Sir, where are you going?" He replied, "I seek a Hebrew midwife." The woman said to him, "Are you from Israel?" And Joseph said, "I am from Israel." The woman said to him, "Who is the young woman who will give birth in this cave?" Joseph replied, "Mary, who was promised to me, who was raised in the Lord's temple." The midwife said to him, "She's not your wife?" And Joseph said, "She was promised to me, but was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit." The midwife said to him, "What you say, is it true?" Joseph said to her, "Come and see." They entered the cave, and Joseph said to the midwife, "Come see Mary." When she wished to enter the interior of the cave, she was afraid because a great light shone resplendent in the cave. The light did not wane in the day, nor through the night, as long as Mary stayed there. Joseph said, "Mary, behold, I have brought to you a midwife, Rachel, who stands outside in front of the cave, who because of the brightness not only dares not enter the cave, but even cannot." When she heard this, Mary smiled. Joseph said to her, "Do not smile, but take care. She comes to examine you in case you need medicine." So he's getting a little irritated, but Mary says, "I got this under control. Right? God's got this." He ordered the midwife to enter to Mary, and she stood before her. For hours, Mary permitted herself to be watched. Then the midwife cried with a loud voice and said, "Lord, great God, have mercy, because never has this been heard, nor seen, nor even dreamed of until now, that the breast should be full of milk and a male child after birth. to make his mother known to be a virgin. There was no offering of blood in the birth. No pain occurred in the preparation. A virgin conceived. A virgin has given birth. And after she gave birth, she remained a virgin. When I entered to the maiden, I found her face looking upward. She was inclined toward heaven and speaking to herself. I truly believed that she prayed and blessed the Most High. When I had come to her, I said to her, "Daughter, tell me, do you not feel some pain, or is it not some part of your body gripped with pain?" She, however, as if she heard nothing, remained immobile, like a solid rock intent on heaven. In that hour, everything ceased. There was total silence and fear, for even the winds stopped. They made no breeze. There was no motion of tree leaves. No sound of water was heard. The streams did not flow. There was no motion of the sea. All things produced in the water were quiet. There was no human voice sounding. There was a great silence, for the pole itself ceased its rapid course from that hour. Time almost stopped its measure. All, overwhelmed with great fear, kept silent. We were respecting the advent of the Most High God, the end of the world. As the time drew near, the power of God showed itself openly. The maiden stood looking intently into heaven. She became as a grapevine, or she became snow white. For now the end of good things was at hand, when the light had come forth. Mary worshipped him to whom she saw she had given birth. The child himself, like the sun, shone bright, beautiful, and was most delightful to see, because he alone appeared as peace, soothing the whole world. In that hour when he was born, the voice of many invisible beings in one voice proclaimed, "Amen." And the light, when it was born, multiplied, and it obscured the light of the sun itself by its shining rays. The cave was filled by the bright light together with a most sweet odor. The light was born just as the dew descends from heaven to the earth, for its odor, it's fragrant beyond all sweet smell of the ointments. I, however, stood stupefied and amazed. Awe grasped me. I was gazing intently at the fantastically bright light which had been born. The light, however, after a while shrank, imitated the shape of an infant, then immediately became outwardly an infant to the usual manner of born infants. I became bold, and I leaned over and I touched him. I lifted him with my hands with great awe, and I was terrified, because he had no weight. Like other babies who are born, I looked at him closely. There was no blemish on him, and he was in his body totally shining. For a while I was amazed at him, because he did not cry as newborn children are supposed to. While I held him, looking into his face, he laughed at me with a most joyful laugh, and opening his eyes, he looked intently at me. Suddenly, a great light came forth from his eyes like a great flash of lightning. I love that piece. Today we're talking about that light, the great light that comes forth with the winter solstice. It comes forth from the darkness, like the darkness of the cave, or even the darkness of the womb. It comes forth, and Christ's light was a beautiful symbolism here, coming forth from the darkness of the cave. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the winter solstice and what the winter solstice is, what it represents, the metaphysical meanings of it. And Jessica Booth, she's got an article in 2017, and she has some things that you can do to help you work through this solstice area and bring forth the light for yourself. So the winter solstice is a celebration of light. You know, it gets dark and it gets cold, and it is from this depth of darkness becomes the light. It comes through from that place. It is actually not a day that this happens on the winter solstice. It's a time, a moment in time on a particular day. This year it's going to be December 21st at 8:19 p.m. Pacific time. And that is when the sun is actually furthest from the earth, which is on its tilt. At this very moment, it is the darkest moment, and we have the equal of the darkness and the light. And then from that point on, the days become longer. And all of the thoughts and the ideas and the hopes and the dreams and the things that we have planted with inside of us, they start to rustle and stir within this darkness, and they start to grow, and they start to become. So it is this time of year that I've had the greatest demonstrations for myself personally. It is this time of year when the darkness has seemed the darkest, and then when the light came about, boy, did it shine brightly. So when we think that we're stuck in one point, one situation, one circumstance, there is no such thing as stuck. It is through the light of the Spirit of the Father, Mother, God, which shines in each one of you, that comes through as truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're never stuck. You never have to be in one place. There is always some place to go, something more to do. It is not the destination so much in life as it is the journey. My very first talk here a gazillion heck of years ago was the climb. I was so green, and my knees were shaking behind this thing. It was wood, right? And so up here, like, I'm all nice and calm, and down here, the knees are just going like crazy. But I did the talk on the climb, and it was Miley Cyrus did this song. You guys hear that, The Climb? Oh, it's an awesome, awesome song. Listen to those words. It's about the climb. It's not the mountain you're climbing. It's about how you're doing with what you're doing. It's how you're getting there. We say in early childhood education, it's the process, not the product. It's the way that we go about doing something. Okay. So the birth of Jesus, let's go back to this. He brought some illumination. I get sidetracked. He brought the illumination. From the darkness, he emerged with this beautiful Christ light that I just mentioned you all have within you. The winter solstice is a time of that quiet energy, and Mary Ellen spoke about it this morning in her beautiful meditation upstairs. And she talked about a time of release and getting rid of the junk. There is not a better time to do that than this time, because you know the light is emerging. This is what we do. Really think about it. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Are you holding on to disease? Are you holding on to dysfunction? Are you holding on to crappy relationships? Are you holding on to discomfort in your money areas? Whatever it is that you're holding on to, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to live that way. What do you want? What are you holding on to? What are you refusing to release? If it's not working, time to go away. Make it go away. So this is your opportunity to look within. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, states this: it is in this moment of time that we are to make the great decision. What decisions are you making? Great decision. A great decision of change in your life. There are no wrong decisions. There are only different outcomes. That's all. No right, no wrong. Different outcomes. It is in this day in which we are now living that we must choose which path we are to follow. Shall we live in fear or shall we live in faith? What's more comfortable? I don't know, I prefer faith. You think faith is something easy to live by? Mm-mm. Knowing no matter what situation or circumstance is looking like or deeming at any point in time that God's got this, there is a better, higher power working for your good. You can use it. You may absolutely use it. Fear is at the bottom of many things in our life. Fear is at the bottom of all those icky things I just spoke of: disease, dysfunction, upset, disharmony. All of those things that really are not things, they are neither person, place, nor thing, but sometimes it feels like it. Shall we live in fear or faith? Shall we live in confusion or in the peace that comes from a deep and abiding conviction that there is a power greater than we are, ready, willing, and able to work for us? You can use it. You may absolutely use this. Jessica Booth, in her article back in 2017, gives me a few tips to help us through the darkness and the light this year, through the solstice time. I keep going back to equinox. That's another time of year. Okay, so she says, number one, take advantage of the natural light. So when it's light outside, go outside, take a walk. Sit and read a book out on the lawn or out on a stump. Ride a bike. Let yourself just be absorbed in vitamin D and your light. Light your way through the darkness. Two, light a candle. Anybody here do meditation? Light a candle? Light a candle. Do it through the darkness. Give thanks for the light. And just be with the darkness. Sometimes we just have to be with the darkness. Sometimes we just have to sit in it and say hello and acknowledge it. And then the light can shine through and we can give thanks. Three, set up a fire-releasing ceremony. Reverend Maggie here, many years ago, when she first came here, she did this ceremony that I loved. It was my favorite ceremony, and it was the solstice ceremony. It was beautiful. Brenda Boston. Wasn't Brenda? Okay, so she led him. So we had a choir here then. And they would all pack in there. And it was just me and Reverend Maggie. I was the only practitioner at that time. And so she organized this beautiful ceremony, and they would be back in the foyer, and everybody had a candle. And we had two sets of pews, and they would come down here led by Brenda Boston and with lights. And they would come up, and I think they all lit something center. But Reverend Maggie and I each got a candle, and we would go back, and we would light everybody's candle all the way around. Well, I'm coming around here, and I'm looking. I'm like, who is this guy? I had no idea who he was, but I thought, man, he's kind of cute. So, so John would play his music, and Barry was playing the bass, and Skylar was playing the drums, and Susan Carlson, anybody remember Susan Carlson? She was amazing. We love Susan, and she has since passed, and she would be playing the piano. But a beautiful, beautiful reminder of the light. I think Reverend Maggie did that 2 years in a row, I want to say, but it was one of the most beautiful services that she'd ever done. A great reminder. So the reason I went there was because we were talking about setting up, she calls it a fire releasing. We call it burning bowl here. So during that time, we would have that bowl there, and you have a little fire in the middle of it. And there are these things called flash paper. You get it down at the Christian store, and you bring it in, and then everybody writes down what you want to get rid of, right? So everybody would come up one at a time, and they would put their little paper, and it would just touch the fire, and then go poof, just like a magician. Kind of cool. Back to the etherus from whence it came. Here's another thing that I want to suggest to you. I used to do this with my daughter. I do this with my clients. If you are in a position that you have a lot inside of you and you need to get it out, something similar to the burning bowl is to just write it out. Write it out on paper. Use every bad word you can think of. Every person that you can never say their name out loud to anybody else. Every secret you've ever held. Everything that has brought you to a point of bubbling and bursting over. Write it down. Then wad it up. You take it to the kitchen sink. You take it to the wood stove. You take it to the fireplace. You burn it and release it to the others. Get it out of here and out of here and release it back to the nothingness from whence it came, as Mary Ellen said this morning. So set up your own fire-releasing ceremony. Celebrate with friends and family. Laughter is the best dose of medicine that you could ever imagine. Once you laugh, you let go of the junk and the stuff. And all you have left is pure spirit and pure light. Disconnect and focus on yourself. I can't can't stress this enough. You're here in a place where it's really okay to have a meditation time, a prayer time, a quiet time, get in the bathtub, burn a candle, read a book, whatever it is, a time that you can just focus on you. And then when we can take our time and we can just go to that one focus where we're at, it's like a meditation. And the other junk just falls away. Just falls away. Take time for yourself, whatever it is. And probably the most important part or meaning of winter solstice, once again, is to recreate and reflect on yourself. I would invite you on the 21st at 8:19 p.m. to light a candle at that time, to welcome in the light, to be grateful for whatever the darkness has taught us, because the darkness does. It teaches us quite a lot. It teaches us what feels good, what doesn't feel good, where we want to be, who do we want to be with, what do we want to do, where do we want to go. There is guidance there, great guidance in the darkness. So this brings me to the dark night of the soul. Anybody? There's a few of us. The dark night of the soul. Reverend Taggart, who actually wrote the outline for this talk, and I kind of went outside the lines. I was always the kid that kind of scribbled outside the lines. So we use a phrase, she says, being in the dark, to describe all manner of discomfort, confusion, ignorance. Being in the dark is also often synonymous with being exposed to one's fears. Isn't that kind of scary? We got to look at our own fears. We got to look at ourselves and the things inside that we haven't wanted to look at in a very long time. The solstice is essentially tied to a personal awakening. Do you believe that? Yeah, it is tied to a personal awakening, because once you face those fears, or you maybe give them a little peek, and you sit in that darkness, and you be with it, and you see what didn't work, and the possibilities of what could be, and the light emerges, it is like a personal awakening to you. In Science of Mind, we think of the light as an aspect of the divine. When we think of spirit, do we think of darkness? No, we think of light. It is that part of the divine that is light, that is beautiful, it feels good, it is warm, it is sparkly. This is the great I am. It is in me and is in each and every one of you. That peace of spirit. We are the same. So I want you to all close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think back to a time, you know, that time, the time when it was dark, when you were confused, perhaps afraid, maybe weak, maybe because of ill health, maybe because of lost relationships or money matters, unsure of your next steps. Go back to that time. Then go back to the end of that time. And what happened next? What happened next? Who sits beside you now? Keeping your eyes closed, imagine that beautiful ball of light. Beautiful, sparkly, vibrant, pulsating ball of light. Take it to your solar plexus area. This is what I said has always been with you, will always be with you. It is part of you. It is part of me. With your eyes closed, repeat after me. I am now willing to celebrate the light in me, through me, as me, I am now willing to celebrate the light in me, through me, as me. I am now willing to celebrate the light in me, through me, as me. Keeping your eyes closed, we must go within to experience the darkness and the stillness and the silence to have rebirth. Keeping your eyes closed, with the return of the light, we are able to see more clearly with more detail and more color. Keeping your eyes closed, we can use the winter solstice and its message of the coming light to give thanks for the year that's been, to remember the loved ones, and to shine a light for the year ahead. Keeping your eyes closed, let's take this into prayer. And so I know, dear sweet Father, Mother, God, that there is one mind, one life, one essence. This is what I call God, the great I am. It is in all, over all, and through all. Grand creator of all things, its own creation, ever evolving into itself. Just one mind, one energy. And it is within this energy. I know that if it is a creator of all things, it created me, and it must have created each and every one of you. And we each hold that spark. It is that light that speaks to us in the still small voice that is always guiding us and directing us. As I accept a divine shift and movement in consciousness for each person here, calling in for anyone who has a heavy heart of lost relationships, of illness or dysfunction, or lack or limitation, or anything that has been of disservice, we just now release this, and as we allow it to go, we let it be falling into the earth and dissipating back to the nothingness from whence it came, building up and bringing through the light which is love and peace and power and joy and harmonious outcome to anything that has seemed inharmonious, bringing forth that which is uplifting and supporting and nurturing. I know, dear sweet Father, Mother, God, that the pathway before each and every one of us is illumined, irresistibly drawn up that perfect path to right action. Ah, what a blessing. I am so very, very thankful for this knowingness for everyone here that sits in this sanctuary and beyond. As I now give thanks and release my word unto the universal law, knowing it is done in mind and to be made manifest in form, as God is now an immediate manifestation in my life, as it is in each and every one of yours. And so it is. Namaste.